Could we open our meeting this evening by singing together number 25? Someone start it for me, please.
Life at best is very brief. Life's a falling out of me. Life's a finding out of
prayer. Our God and our Father, we do thank Thee this evening for the privilege of telling forth the good news of Thy love, of Thy long suffering over this guilty world, Thy desire to bless, to bring us into blessing each one. We thank Thee, Father, for this opportunity this evening to have this gospel meeting, to open Thy word together. And we seek Thy blessing, Father. We know that it's the work of the Lord Jesus on the cross that has assured many of us of our salvation. We know it's the work of thy Spirit in our souls, and we pray that thy Spirit might be free to work this evening in this room. We ask it, Father, with thanksgiving, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for his honor and glory. Amen. I'd like to read, first of all, three verses in the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs, chapter 5. And verse 7. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Then another verse in chapter 7, Proverbs 7, verse 24. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. And chapter 8, verse 32. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Similar verses. I have a common message addressed to children. I believe the word there means sons. And I believe it's addressed this evening to those that will be called the sons of men or the children of men. Every one of us in this room, we fit the description here before God as being children of men, sons of men. And God says, hear me now, therefore, O ye children. You know that of the senses, God has given us senses. There is one sense that works before you're born, and that's the sense of hearing. Little child in the mother's womb hears a loud noise and he'll be startled. His hearing's already working. He can't smell, can't talk, but he can hear. Can't discern what he hears, but he can respond to a noise. You know, the last sense that stops working is a sense of hearing. Remember seeing a man, he was in his 50s, dying of cancer, slowly going away, just weakening every day, to a point where he was so weak, he couldn't move. He was so weak, he couldn't wink. He could not move his eyelid, he was so weak. But he could hear. But he could hear. I remember speaking to that man. He knew the Lord Jesus, the one we want to talk to you about tonight. And when I told him that within a few moments he'd be in the presence of the Savior, I just saw a little slight movement in the corner of his lip, a smile. He didn't look worried. He looked peaceful. But he couldn't move, but he could still hear. And you know, God says here, listen. And I would wonder if there's anybody in this room tonight that's unqualified to listen. Would the last person in the corner there, the last row, the last seat, can you hear my voice? Raise your hand, please. Thank you. The other corner there, the far end corner, the last person, would you kindly raise your hand? Thank you, sir. Everybody can hear. Well, if you didn't want to fulfill verse 7 of chapter 5, hear me now therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth, you'd have to leave this room. If you're in this room, you can hear. We can go to the second verse, Proverbs chapter 7. It says there, hearken unto me now therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. I remember a brother once in a meeting, he said something. He said, during this meeting, if somebody walks up to me and asks me for the silver dollar, I'll give it to him. And somebody was paying attention, and during the meeting or at the end of the meeting, he walked up and he says, "Give me that silver dollar." And the brother gave him that silver dollar. He was listening to what was being said. And that's the next criterion in this room this evening, is are you listening and paying attention? Are you going to take in what we're going to say? We trust with the help of the Spirit of God. Because if you're not listening, it's not going to be profitable for you. And if you remember the last verse we read in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 32, "Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways." There's a promise of blessing. God has a blessing in store for you this evening. If you listen, pay attention to His Word, and respond. You know, I was reading an article this week, the Bank of Montreal, a bank in Canada, record profits, $1 billion and $15 million. $1 billion profit. I've had a sheet of paper here, and I said, if I was a arch-billionaire, and I say, okay, I'm taking names down this evening. Are you attentive? I'm taking names down this evening of people to whom I would be willing to give $1 billion. Are you paying attention? Well, what I have to offer from God this evening is worth way more than $1 billion. And it's being offered to everyone in this room who can hear my voice. And if you don't have that blessing when you leave this room tonight, maybe it's because I won't have said it clearly enough. I ask God to help me to make it clear and plain. But if you don't have that blessing when you leave this room tonight, either you haven't paid attention, ask me again before you leave. I'll try and make it as plain as I can. Or you won't respond to the message and say, "Oh, I don't want my name there. I don't want that blessing." So I want you to be attentive, please. And you know, the child in the womb, he can hear, can't understand. But there are many children here. If you're old enough to hear my voice, you're old enough to understand a lot of the things we're going to be speaking about. So don't give up. Pay attention. Now, you know, we sang about time. We sang about time. You know, this book here, the Word of God, it tells us about time. And I was thinking this week about time, you know, and time is something that kind of immaterial. But we'd like to define it this evening for each one of us. What's time? And we'll call it the period between this verse here. We'll read in Genesis chapter 1, first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, Let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day." There's a beginning of time. The very first day. Day one. Right here in the Bible. The beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Day one. Now let's go to the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible. Chapter 20 of Revelation, chapter 20. And the 11th verse. We'll be coming back to this chapter a little bit later on. Revelation 20, verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne, and Him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." So there the heavens and the earth disappear, no place for them. And I'd like to suggest to you tonight, we're going to define this as time, from the first day when the heaven and the earth were created and the last day when they disappear. Now if I read my Bible correctly, the space of time between this creation and the fact that they disappear in the Bible is approximately 7,000 years. 7,000 years. You know, if you take a person that lives 70 years, person lives 70 years, she dies. And the day she dies, somebody's born. And they live 70 years, and they die after 70 years. And when this one dies, somebody else is born. Well, it only take 100 people for the whole span of time. That includes the millennium. Only 100 people. Now, if you take the first section of this room there, the people sitting in the first section there, there's more than 100 seats just in that section. That's all that's needed for that span of time. It's not very long. Seems like a big number, but 100 people isn't very much, living 70 years. And that's the whole span of time, from creation till the heavens and the earth disappear. Now you might say, what's that got to do with me? Well, we live in time, and we have days too. You listen to Psalm 90. Turn to Psalm 90. Because we're not going to live 7,000 years. We don't have that much time. Our span of time is much shorter. We don't know how much time we have. Psalm 90. Verse 10. Psalm 90, verse 10. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. That's an old English way of saying 70. Just that, like that number we used before, 100 men living 70 years each. That's 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, that's 80. 80 years. And you know, the average age, a woman's average age in Canada is 77 years. Right in between those two numbers, 70 and 80. So some die before, some die after. But that's the span of time. None of them live 150 years. So there's a verse here in the 90th Psalm, verse 12. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We need to number our days. Now, how would you feel if somebody 6'4" and big fellow walked up to you and said, "Your days are numbered"? I'd be worried. But I can tell you, God is telling us tonight, our days are numbered. Our days are numbered. We don't know how much time we have left, but He knows. And He wants us to number our days. 2,500,000 days. 2.5 million days, roughly, 7,000 years. 70 years, 25,000 and some days. That's all. That's all. Pay a dollar a day. $25,000. That's that much. Gone. Finished. Little time. Looks like a long time when you start it and say, look forward, I'm young, I have many years before me. Well, all things being equal, maybe 70 years, maybe 80, all things being equal. If nothing happens before, some die a lot younger than 70. I saw a woman once, she was 55. Average age in Canada, 77. She was 55. She died. Lung cancer from smoking. Cigarette robbed her of over 20 years of life. Had she not smoked, she might have gotten to 80 or 85. Didn't know when she was gone. She's gone now. Remember seeing her in the hospital. Her minutes were numbered. She was going to go. Hardly anything left in her lung, trying to get some air because she was choking. Told her about the love of the Lord Jesus. Wants to have her with Him in the glory. I don't know when she crossed eternity whether she was saved or not. If time goes on, everyone in this room here, we're going to pass into eternity. Some of us are older, getting older. The Lord doesn't come. Days are fleeting by. They're going quickly by. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Is that all? No. There's good news from God. There's a now. In those verses in Proverbs it says there, listen to me now. There's now. There's blessing purpose from God to you this evening in this room. Eternal blessing, worth more than $1 billion, can be yours tonight. You know, it says in Jeremiah chapter 5, the last verse. Just like to use the end of the verse, thinking about our life. And what will ye do in the end thereof? How long is it going to last? We don't know. Maybe tomorrow, some of us won't be here. Icy roads coming down, icy roads going back. Some of us get sick. We don't know. What are you going to do in the end thereof? You know, one day in my life, I thought I was dying. I didn't know the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I was working for the telephone company, living a little bit of stress. I'm a nervous fellow. I went for supper. I was working overtime. I had some soup and crackers there. I never have crackers, but I was eating the soup. And in the soup, there was a wrapper, a piece of wrapper from the crackers. And I didn't see it. Picked it up in my spoon, and I swallowed it. When I got it in my throat, it stuck there. And I felt I was choking. And I felt, oh, what was missing? Something in my soup. And then I could get my voice back. Something wrong. I think it was a piece of wrapper in my soup. I choked up again. So I was getting weak and worried. And said, let's go to the bathroom and maybe you can throw up. And so I tried in the bathroom. And as time went by, I started feeling weaker and weaker and getting concerned about this choking up. And finally, he decided to get one of the security persons. And by that time, I was turning white. And then they got me on a stretcher, and they called the ambulance, and I was going down all the time. And I remember in the ambulance, I was in the ambulance, and then I could hear them say, it's a heart attack. Look at his face. It's got to be a heart attack. It's very comforting when you hear that. Anyway, I was in the ambulance there, and I was going. This is the impression I had. I couldn't move anymore. I could just barely talk. And I can tell you, I had no thought whatsoever towards God. As to where I was going, my mind was set on things down here. And all I could think of was, I was supposed to meet my wife at 9 o'clock. I said to this fellow, tell my wife I won't be there. I thought I was dying. What was I going to do in the end thereof? Nothing. I was going to cross over in eternity as a lost sinner. What are you going to do in the end thereof? Don't wait. Don't wait. Remember seeing a man? Was a story being acted out anyway. He was dying. You know what the last thing he asked for when he was dying? The same thing that killed that woman at 55. He asked for a cigarette. And he had a puff and he died. What are you going to do in the end thereof? Death and judgment are before me. That's what we had in the end. Is that what good news we have for you tonight, or the blessing God has for you tonight? No, He has a blessing to remove from you the judgment that you're heading towards. But there's only one way He can do that. Read with me in Revelation chapter 20, where we read before. We read verse 11. We'll read it over again. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I said at the beginning, if I was writing names down here for $1 billion, maybe give me your name. God is writing names tonight for eternal blessing. But He wants you to know the consequence of refusing, neglecting what He has for you tonight. It says here, before that great white throne, there's one sitting there. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And before the face of this one sitting on that white throne, heaven and earth disappear. The one sitting on the throne is no other than the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And it says there were books opened. And if I had died those years ago when I was still unsaved, didn't know the Lord Jesus, I would stand at this judgment seat of Christ, and I don't know how the books were made up here, but I was thinking of a book, you know, long shelf of books, and there it says on the book, The Life and Works of Michel Payette. The Life and Works of Michel Payette. Recorded everything I've done and thought, things I've forgotten about, all recorded there, and God would judge me according to the works that I've done. Not what you've done, what I've done. And you know what the outcome would be? The lake of fire. I'm so glad. I'm so thankful. My name is in the book of life. And tonight God is taking names and writing them down in the book of life. Would you like to have your name tonight written in the book of life? Or would you rather have him look at that book on the shelf, The Life and Works of, not Michel Payette, but put your name there. Every thought, everything you've done, ever, everything there, nothing missing. Well, tonight, through God's grace, we'd like to show you from God's Word how you can have your name written there. Turn with me now to the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17. Verse 30 speaks of people there that were ignorant of the true God, but says here, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. That's all children of men, if you like, boys and girls, mums and dads, young girls, young men, all, and not just in Canada, in every place. And when does he say that? It says God commands it now. Right now. 1996. I think it's November 29th, is it? 7 o'clock, 7:30. God commands everywhere now men to repent. You say, well, repent from what? I can't say for you. I can say for me. For my sins. You know, when Cain slew his brother Abel, God asked Cain a question. He said, what hast thou done? What hast thou done? Didn't God know what Cain had done? Of course he did. It was written in the book. If Cain would have thought of the question, what have I done? That's repentance. Seeing your sin as God sees it. What have you done? I don't know. But God knows, and God says that you have sinned. God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if it wasn't for the good news, the promised blessing of God that you can get tonight, we'd all be standing before that great white throne and all those books being opened. We'd all end up in the lake of fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. But God wants you with Him in heaven in happiness. But you have to repent. You have to realize that you're lost and you're guilty before God. That you've done what's wrong. You've disobeyed God. You've done your own will. You've told a lie. You've cheated. Perhaps you've stolen. Perhaps you've been mad at somebody and you've hit them. I don't know. God knows. But God says that you've sinned. I want you to read with me in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. Because there's another seat of judgment there, like that one in Revelation chapter 20. The Lord Jesus is sitting on a throne, and heaven and earth have disappeared, and everybody's there. not everybody, I should say, but a lot of people are there, raised from the dead, just standing there in midair, no air either, just in space before the Lord Jesus, held there by his power. And he's going to look their life over. And he's going to have to cast them away forever. But in Matthew 27, there's another man here judging. And from the 19th verse, this is Pilate. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife said unto him, saying, "Have thou nothing to do with that just man?" Verse 20. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor answered and said unto them, "Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you?" They said, "Barabbas." Here are two questions. Actually, there's three. Pilate said unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all let him be crucified. And the governor said, "Why? Why? What evil hath he done?" The Lord Jesus never sinned. He could not sin. There was no sin in him. Even a thief right beside him, he said, "This man had done nothing amiss, never did anything wrong. What evil had he done?" None. What evil have you done? You can't say none. Why? Why? The Son of God. He was in the ship with the disciples and it was a storm and he said, "Peace be still." The storm stopped. Lazarus was there in the grave, 4 days dead, stank already. Lazarus come forth, rose him from the dead. They came to get the Lord Jesus in the garden with swords and everything. He said, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." "I am he. I'm he." And when he said that, they all fell backwards. Could have just left. He stayed there. Why? Do you want to know why? For you. Because he loves you. That's why. The Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you. You know him? Well, this evening, my friend, you're lost and guilty. You're going to stand before God unless you receive the free gift of God through faith in the Lord Jesus. You need to know you're a sinner because Christ died for sinners. Didn't come to die for just people. People always done right. No, the Pharisees thought that way. They were all good. Everybody else is bad. The Bible says there's no righteous one, no just one, not one. We're all bad. And that's why the Son of God, he let wicked men take him and hurt him and nail his hands and his feet on the cross. And he was lifted up between heaven and earth. And then when he was on the cross, earth wouldn't have him. And the heavens were close to him. He was forsaken on the cross. Why? For me. That's why I'm here tonight. Because the Son of God loved me and gave himself for me. And for many here in this room. And we would pray that you would know tonight that he did it for you. And that you'll have him as your own personal Savior tonight. You know, they asked the question, Pilate asked the question, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And they said, "Crucify him. Away with him, crucify him." What will you do tonight which is with Jesus, which is called the Christ? I don't want him. Tomorrow, I'm too young. I've got many, many days before me. You don't. None of us might be here very long. The Lord Jesus is coming back. And when the books are going to be opened, maybe God will ask you, "Why? Why didn't you? Were you listening? Were you being attentive? Did you accept the fact that you were a sinner Just believe it. God says it. It's true. Say, Lord Jesus, I want you as my Savior. Save me tonight. I want my name in your book. I don't want to be judged. I don't want a lake of fire. No, God says He doesn't want you in a lake of fire. He wants you in heaven. He wants to bring many sons to glory. He loves you, but He hates sin. The problem isn't God, it's not you, it's sin. He loves you, but He hates sin, and He cannot take you into heaven without having your sins washed away. And that's why the work of the Lord Jesus on the cross is so precious. Look at the verse in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Verse 18, chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. If the Lord Jesus hadn't gone to that cross, what evil had He done? None. But if He didn't go to that cross, God couldn't bring you or me in heaven. And we would all stand before that white throne and be judged for our sins and be cast away from God. God so loved the world, so loved you, that He gave His only begotten Son. He didn't send angels. His only begotten Son. And how did we treat His Son? Could we have treated Him worse? Spit in His face? Hit Him with our fists? Hit Him with sticks? Nailed Him to the cross? And then when He was there, hanging on the cross, any sympathy from our hearts? We mocked Him. If thou be the Son of God, come down, save thyself and us. It's all going to be reckoned by God. It's all going to be brought to light. It's all going to be judged. What shall ye do in the end thereof? You know, it tells us in the book of Romans that all the world is going to be guilty before God. And every mouth stopped. Perhaps you do something wrong, you're a child, and you've been bad. You say, oh, my little brother, he did this. It's not my fault. Just like Adam and Eve said, no, it's not me, it's the serpent. Passing the responsibility around, trying to explain ourselves rather than saying, what have I done? I've done wrong. I've sinned. But when we stand before the great white throne, no explanations. No advocate. Nobody to plead your cause before God. It's all written in the book. Nothing to be debated. No facts to say, well, is that fact exact? God knows everything. Everything about you. In all the details. Nothing escapes Him. And when you read the account, you won't have anything to say. And then all your mouth is going to be used for is weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth. My friends, it's serious. We go back to our verse in Proverbs. We'll get the last of Proverbs chapter 8, the last one we read. Verse 32, now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. How can I be blessed? How can I receive more than $1 billion tonight? By receiving the free gift of God through faith in the Lord Jesus. Romans chapter 6. Verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Tonight, what will you do then with Jesus, which is called a Christ? Are you going to leave this room tonight and say, I'm going to think about it? And if you never think about it again, you never hear the gospel again, what are you going to say before the great white throne? Why? Don't put it off. Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf. Ever watch a leaf fall? In the book of James, it says our life is but a vapor that appears for a little time. Well, perhaps you've seen these boys and girls, maybe a bowl of soup, hot bowl of soup, and you see so hot you can see the vapors there. Ever try and lay hold of the vapors? You watch it and there, it doesn't last very long. It's gone. And pretty soon every one of us, we're going to be looking at our life and say, that didn't last very long, did it? It's gone. It's over. So my friend tonight, you can take the most important decision in your life that's going to affect your life down here. How long it's going to be, I don't know. But it's going to affect your life down here. You're going to be happy down here. And you're going to be happy forever with the Lord Jesus in heaven. The promise of God's blessing. Eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now perhaps you say, I know all that. I've heard that many times from maybe mom and dad and others around. And I really want to be sure. I really want to be sure. Well, you know, perhaps you've received a gift. Receive a gift. That's enjoyable, receiving a gift. A nice gift. Maybe a doll or a truck. Something nice. You know, a gift, how does it become yours? How do you have a gift? If I brought a truck to one of the young boys here and I said, here's a truck, here's a gift for you. And I walk back maybe 20 minutes, they say, hey, who's this truck? It's yours, sir. Well, I thought I gave it to you. Well, I'm not sure it's mine. Is it really mine? Had that experience once in Benin. They like these little wallet calendars. I gave a man a wallet calendar and another man a wallet calendar and gave wallet calendars around. And we got talking about the Lord Jesus and the free gift of God, free salvation of our souls, our sins washed in the precious blood of Christ. And they said, oh, but you've got to do this and you've got to do that. And I said, well, when you receive a gift, who does the gift belong to? I said, yeah, well, but, you know, objections and maybe. So I told the first fellow, I said, that calendar you just put in your pocket, who does it belong to? He said, me, pointing to me. He said, it belongs to you. You give it back. He gave me back the calendar, put it back in my pocket. So I went to the other fellow, I said, that calendar in your pocket, who does it belong to? He said, me. Simple. It's mine. The Lord Jesus came in the world to save sinners. He saved me because I received the gift of God in believing on the Lord Jesus. God offers to all the boys and girls tonight and adults too to be His sons and daughters through faith in the Lord Jesus. If you'll believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus, God will forgive your sins and make you sons and daughters. You want that to be yours? You just say, it's mine, Lord Jesus. I want you as my Savior. Talk to adults sometimes. I want just to read one more verse before I close. John's Gospel, chapter 6. Here's the Lord Jesus speaking, the Son of God, God manifest in flesh. He says in John chapter 6, verily, verily, verse 47, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I was talking about trucks and dolls to kids, but spoken to many adults. They believe the Lord Jesus died on the cross for them. And they really believe that he was raised from the dead. He's at the right hand of God. And I have them read this verse. The Lord says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. The Lord Jesus, the Son of God, declares that those that believe on him have everlasting life. And I asked them, done it many times, I'm sure many here have done that. do you have everlasting life? And these are mature adults. They say, I hope. I hope. I hope I have it. I hope I'm going to have it. I hope God will... There's no hope here. He has. I can tell you tonight, by God's authority, His Word, I have everlasting life. Why? Because I have put my trust in the Lord Jesus. I was a guilty and lost sinner on my way to hell. And the Lord Jesus, Son of God, who never did anything wrong, He went to the cross. Why? For me. Because He loves me. Why? For you. Because He loves you. Do you have everlasting life tonight? Well, receive Him as your Savior. Believe the Word of God. And you can say, with many of us tonight, I have everlasting life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'd like to have another hymn here. Number 36. Spoken about the Lord Jesus and the reason why He was delivered up for our offenses. the reason why He went to the cross for everyone in this room. That's why, because He loves you. And I trust with the Word of God that you've heard tonight that you can have your name written in the book of life. Can God write your name in tonight? My name's there. Is your name there? Would you have your name there tonight? And if not, may I ask you, why not tonight? Why not tonight? Because I've been telling you, if it's not tonight, it might be never. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank Thee for Thy love again, for the gift of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus, for that work on the cross, that perfect work to save sinners, to save hell-deserving sinners like me, like us. We thank Thee, Father, for loving us so much, and we thank Thee, Lord Jesus, for coming down and for letting wicked men hurt Thee and spit upon Thee and mock Thee in Thy time of agony. And to think, our God and our Father, that Thou didst punish him for the evils that we have done, for the things that we have done because he hadn't done anything wrong. We thank Thee for this, Father. We thank Thee for the peace, the joy that we have in knowing him as our Savior, having Thee as our Father. And we would pray to Thee, Father, tonight, for any in this room, boy or a girl or older one, who still hasn't said, Lord Jesus, save me. We pray tonight they would come to Thee, Lord Jesus, and enjoy Thy work for them. Receive Thee as their own personal Savior, having their sins washed in Thy most precious blood. We thank Thee for Thy patience, our God. We thank Thee for the opportunity this evening to preach the gospel. We know we do it in weakness. We count on the working of Thy Spirit in souls. We thank Thee for Thy word, for Thy good news, and for Thy beloved Son. And we ask Thy blessing, what's been said, what was from Thee. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray, Father. Amen.